Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros.
There's something weird about the bottom of this fucking water bottle, and I have to lean it up against it's. I'm getting so mad right now.
Why? We just started the show, Dan. How are you this angry already?
I just want things to work the way they're supposed to.
Well, that's not the world.
Look at that. It's leaning, for fuck's sake.
Maybe there's too many people on that island.
Maybe there was a Tower of Pisa.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Too many fucking guy.
Too many people on the island. It's going to tip over.
There it is.
Remember that guy?
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Democratic congressman.
Guam, right? Was it Guam?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the Guamese people.
Fucking idiot.
The Chamoan, yeah.
They're called Guamese, huh?
No, actually they're not. But yeah, that's what he was saying, that there were too many people on the island. I've been to Guam.
Yeah.
It's a good time, but
up and down, real up and down.
Did you put a level on the ground at any point? We're like, oh, too many people on the north side. Let's get on down here.
Just tore over there.
Yeah.
why don't you introduce your beef fry here to the audience? Yeah.
This is D'Anthony? Jeffrey W. Taylor. He was, he was in the Marine Corps back in the day. No one really gives a shit about that because I think you developed an allergy to crayons and you had to get sent over to the Army.
No, I'll tell you what. Go ahead and finish out my bio and I'll tell you why I did the transfer over.
I like how he knows this show well enough where it's like, hey, man, why don't you go ahead and finish off the bio, all of my accomplishments, and then we can get back to me about that story.
He's a scout sniper, came over to us. You were in Lurs for a while at Bragg, and then you came over to the 82nd Airborne, deployed with Jared and I to Baghdad for a little while. And then,
are you guys the same age?
No, he's decades older than me, just like you are.
I'm like an older brother.
Gotcha.
Gave a lot of hugs.
I feel like Dan's more of a grandfather to all of us, but
Well, in the pecking order of myself, Dan, and Jared, that's pretty much how it would go. Big brother, kid brother, and then just the baby, pain in the ass. Jared, wine, like a little... Can I say cunt?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
I don't even know why he's on your guys' webpage, because your rules are don't be a cunt, don't ever be a cunt, and then you guys...
Well, he's the one
you
that started
can say
it, so...
Yeah, but you can say it. You can say the word cunt as many times as you want.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Any word you can possibly think of, except for one, you can say on the show.
Well, my dad's a proud father. Then I said cunt on the air.
Yeah, you can say cunt on the air.
Yeah.
Fire away.
It's another story about me and a judge saying cunt. Nah, that's a different story.
Thick accent.
Yeah.
Again, is it
he's British.
Alabama?
Alabama, yeah. I was born and raised down there. Big Roll Tide fan.
London, Alabama.
London, yeah. Yeah. Bunch of pockies down there.
No, you're a Pittsburgh guy. You were on Drinking Bros News with us last week, and we were like, hey, man, we got to get you on the show. You're the only person that has an actual connection to Jared and Dan at the same time in their life. What, 10 years ago when you guys
when were you, 08, 07, 08?
It was 06 to 08.
Yeah. It was definitely in the infant stages of what their concept was. But I will say this, that Jared definitely had a vision. He had a vision of what he wanted to do, because I don't think he was really good at what he did in the Air Force. He said what
he says he was.
Well, that's him. He says he's good at everything. He says he's good at marriages too. I got a lot of room to talk, but maybe just the initials JT. No, he had a vision. Jared was always that guy that everybody liked, even though you hated him, you liked him. He had a way. He was that guy that brought that room together. I mean, he's the glue, he's the magnet. To be cliché-ish, but Jared just had that personality. And he was just so open to communicate with people, if it was playing his guitar or helping people with connections or whatever we got into in those early days when we were living together and partying and acting a fool. But he had a vision. And, I mean, I couldn't be any more proud to say that these guys I served with in during the war in Iraq, but also just to be able to call them friends.
It's funny, man. Even today, I would probably say Jared is the glue of our group. Because he put us all together.
Yeah.
And then from some weird stage or wherever he's at in his life right now, he's always managed to stay around all of us and keep everybody communicating and talking and everything you just said, essentially. Because, we can't talk about where he is today, but because we're trying to get them on the show. But you wouldn't believe it, but even from that person's house who's
ultra famous, we can tell you that he's not in county.
Yeah, so, you know, he's not in county, right. But he's at a...
Or getting married again.
Well, we don't know that for
we don't
sure.
know that. We can tell you he's at somebody's, an ultra-famous person's house, and...
he posted a picture with him, I think.
No, not this one. I'm not talking about Charlie Sheen. I'm talking about somebody else.
Yep, He posted a picture with.
That is scary, that because you mentioned it, that those two guys are together.
Yeah, if we can confirm this, not posting a picture, or you,
yeah,
you
look
do
right
it,
now,
and
yeah.
if so, we'll tell the audience, because I was, even when I got the video, he was like, dude, you're not going to believe where I am, and I'm like, hey, man, you're at that guy's house right now. You should not be videoing us, and he's like, but you got to see this, you know? And that's Jared in a nutshell, where no matter where he is.
Yeah, he posted it on a story today.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was at Kid Rock's house.
Oh, okay.
And we're trying to get Kid Rock on the show. This was not told to us, Dan and I, right? All we said we called him to do a show today, and he goes, oh, shit, I can't, man. I'm at Kid Rock's house. What? Yeah, you got to see this house.
He's got the original General Lee at his house. I'm
and
like,
then he just
wow,
starts
crazy.
Going on live video, classic Jared, and then talking to us about it and everything, and you're just like, what the fuck, man? He's just that dude. Everybody loves Jared.
He
goes.
I've never been able to figure out. I was, other than the friendship we established through the years, but, you know, when he went through his, the Air Force's, I don't know what they call it, NCOES, it's like graduating junior high, I think.
Oh, you're talking about when he got promoted?
Yeah, I went over there when his mom and dad was there, of course.
Yeah.
Mrs. Taylor, hi.
Everybody says hi, Mrs.
Yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, it's like, what's from the movie? Hey, Miss Jackson.
Yeah, you got to pay your respects to Miss Taylor.
Yes, you do.
Darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. That's what he said. You're talking about Friday, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they're like Freddie Jackson. No, but even back then, taking pictures of him getting promoted, and we were all there. And there's even one thing I can say about Jared that I've been jealous with, I mean, just jealous professionally throughout my career, before I retired, was I got away with a lot of shit. And I always had a handler. I was kind of like a terrorist bomber, like, somebody'd go up there, what the hell we call them? They wore their vest.
Oh, S vest? Yeah, suicide bomber?
Yeah, suicide bomber. I always had a handler that was higher ranking to me to protect me from the shit that I would do. How Jared got away with everything he got away with.
As a fucking
E-4. Yeah, E-4, E-5. Force, yeah. But because he had that demeanor, he had that. You loved to hate him. You really did. Because you knew that it was sincere. I mean, he was just solid as hell.
There were a couple of things he did that really stand out. One, if you guys have watched the Drunken Debriefs, you saw some of the stuff he and I were doing, like me running for FOB mayor and all that stupid bullshit we did then. One of the other stories that I actually like better than that is, so he carried this, there's two parts of this. One, he carried this fake memorandum around about relaxed grooming standards. He just made it himself, right? But it's classic Jared. So he would let his hair grow and grow and grow. And our sergeant major at the time, Lamarcky Knowles, who's the biggest piece of shit in the history of the 82nd Airborne, probably.
He ended up becoming Division Command Sergeant Major.
Yeah, he was the Division Command Sergeant Major. He is a piece of shit.
So you still dislike him to this
yes,
day?
Yes, no one likes him. I've never met a single human being that likes this guy.
Well, I guess I tell you, I won't get it. I get a Christmas card every year
from him. You should send it back to him. So anyways, the guy comes up to him and he's like talking about his hair and all this other bullshit. And it just keeps going on and on for weeks, right? And finally, Jared walks into the TOC, the command center, one day. And
it's the Tactical Operations Center?
Yeah. The Sergeant Major walks by him, and he goes, what's up, Aim High? Because Aim High was the Air Force motto at the time. And Jared was like, what's up, Army Strong? And he goes, oh, excuse me, my name's Sergeant Major. And he goes, oh, cool, my name's Jared. And he just walked out.
And nothing happened to him?
Yep. Correct.
That's funny, man.
I have no idea how he got away with any of the shit he got
away
with.
So, with us having the same surname.
Yeah.
Somehow it got started that we were related.
Well, yeah, I mean, Taylor, that was going to be my next question with the last name Taylor. You guys are
Now that he's become somewhat notorious and famous, I tell everybody we're related anyway.
Yeah, why not at that point?
I mean, so if you're listening, buddy, hey, you can throw some coin my way. so it came out, and I think we played that role that we were related, and this Command Sergeant Major and I had no love lost between us two, so it only added more fuel to the fire that he had me upstairs creating problems and then creating problems on the street and then Jared doing his thing with the Air Force and creating problems there too. So it was kind of twofold. So that's how it kind of really started. It really was that once we got paired up and we knew there was somebody out there that hated us, then we just hey, man, it's not about love, man. It's about having the same hates.
Yeah.
That's funny. I've never heard it said like that before.
But, relationships don't last because of love, man. Relationships last because you have the same hates.
And what are your hates exactly that you guys share?
He and I? Mm-hmm. Well, authority. I hate him. He hates me.
Authority.
Authority.
Neither one of them can deal with authority.
No, it's not so much authority. It's the stupidity. I always, okay, if we're going to go down this rat hole, and let's take the long, long train.
Why not?
All right. So we had this thing in the Army called the NCOER, the Non-Commissioned Officer Evaluation Report. All right. So I'm going to ask you, because you got a little G2 or knowledge about you, the word competence, what is it?
I would say, you know, non-definition, obviously. Competence is just knowing or having a confident feeling in what you're doing.
Okay, so if you don't have a knowing or confident feeling in what you're doing, you're mm-hmm. then what?
Incompetent.
Okay, great. Because on the first page of the back of this NCOER, you have a competency rating. So you either outstanding.
It's 1 through 5.
1 through 5, uh-huh. Yeah. You're either outstanding, exceed the standard, met the standard, below the standard, or, you know, or needs improvements.
Needs improvement. Yeah,
right. So
like
it should have been real simple for the military. You're either competent or
incompetent.
Right. No need to go any farther if you check the box to the left.
But the difference between a 4 and a 5 cumulatively over the sections of an NCOER can be the difference between a promotion or not.
Yeah.
So if someone just doesn't like you, like, oh, he's a 4 out of 5. Yeah.
Right.
Or they, for some reason, they don't want to give you a 5. And someone, it gets rated like that too, because if you're an NCO giving out NCOERs and you continuously give 5s to everybody, mm-hmm. if you give a 4 to somebody and they request a review of it, you have to explain why all these people got 5s and this person got a 4. So a lot of NCOs, being lazy and cowardly, will just give people 3s and 4s just because they don't. Not that I ever had this issue, by the way, because I'm amazing. But
well, you follow all the rules, Dan.
I don't. I'm a piece of shit.
No, you're a rule follower.
I'm not. Not then, anyways. At any rate, people will do that too, and it's the same in government service too. They do the same thing. The evaluation reports for people that work for the government are basically the same, and they do the same thing. They're like, they protect the 5s, right, for people that they lie. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons for it, but mostly, in my opinion, it's just laziness and cowardice. Like, they don't want to have to defend their position there.
It's a lot of cronyism. And I watching a couple of you guys' show back, and Dan said it best, that, you know, being a free thinker, thinking outside the box, or having your own kind of ideology of how things should be. I mean, when we talk about leadership and whatever you do, I mean, you work in the post office, you work at food line, or leadership is still leadership. It's the ability to get people to do things. I mean, in common sense.
We're Harris Teeter people here.
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
I'm not. I don't like Harris Teeter because the people in the register always make me feel so belittled that they're better than me.
They are.
Because I don't know where to go. I don't know if to take my buggy to the person or take my buggy to the side.
Buggy.
I don't know. Buggy, yeah.
So you were born in the 1800s and Amish. No, I'm kidding.
Now you laugh, though. We just had a big Oktoberfest at my best friend's, and every year he has a great party. We do the Lederhosen, and my girlfriend was dressed up in her dirndl and everything. And of course, I had one for my daughter too. And she's like, "Daddy, we were so dressed like the 1980s." And I'm like, "Yeah, we are." 1980s.
To a teenager, actually, she's 7 though.
Yeah, she's gonna be 7.
So to a 7-year-old, the 1980s may as well have been 300 years ago. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to loop back around. What was Jared's score on his 1 out of 5? What did he get?
Who knows? The Air Force, man. They just give shit away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you join the Air Force, they just give you medals. It's like, hey, welcome. Hey, congratulations. Here you go.
How long did you stay in?
I did 25 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So you were in the Marine Corps first. How long did you do in the Corps before you moved over?
I did, 6 years in the Corps. Then I got out of the Corps, worked for the NJB, which is the National Guard Bureau. Did some bumming around in there. Then the war got ready to kick off, and then we all kind of came back on active duty in 02, right before the war kicked off.
So do you get pension and retirement and all that stuff?
Yeah, I get all that.
That's great.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
I work part-time in retail sales, and I still do a little private contracting, independent contract work for the military.
Oh, no shit. Overseas or here?
No more overseas for Daddy. She doesn't want that. I got to stay local.
Yeah.
And that's a young man's game now, so.
Do you like those gigs?
At first I didn't. It took me about a couple of years before I got involved, because I walked away. I'd had enough of it. But now that going back and getting with some of the guys and that camaraderie, mm-hmm. Dealing with guys that had retired or whatever, and we just kind of sit around like, yeah, we're just actually we get to be like young soldiers again, all over again with no authority. We can just be the bad guy or the good guy and just be creative, and basically it's acting. We're just acting in what we're doing. So, yeah, it's become a little bit of fun.
Anything cool, or is it corporate shit?
No, it's cool. It's what we're doing, working for the organization, is helping the future of our special operations community.
Okay, cool.
So
cool. Let's dive into Dan here, D'Anthony, because that's his real name, and I don't know if you knew that, right?
What's what?
D'Anthony.
D'Anthony?
Yeah, that was
actually, I thought it was Tim.
Yeah, it's his full name.
Don't ever say my real name on the show. It's so long that it would. It's like if God spoke. Remember Dogma?
Yep.
If God had spoken, your fucking head would explode.
Yeah.
That's my full name.
It is.
You would go insane if you heard it.
If there's, what, 19 vowels, I think?
19 vowels in a row.
Yeah. Very ooh and e.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this goes back to what we were talking about, the coffee, like 104 milliliters. He was talking. Yeah. It's just Dan is driving.
Swahili. loves Swahili coffee and loves his first name.
Just keep it like short and simple. Move on.
What was he like back in the day? Was he fucking crazy?
Yeah, he's I mean,
I don't know if I've ever really changed.
No, honestly, really. He went through a spell when he went to college, which I don't know what happened out there. There was a lot of adult supervision for him, but we stayed in touch periodically through the years. Yeah. And then now, when he said he was coming back in this area, I was like, "Dude, we definitely got to get together."
We used to do some wild shit together back in the day.
Yeah,
what was it? What can you talk about? We've talked about this.
We'll circle back to the war part, but just back here at Bragg.
I'm safe for talking about the war shit.
I know, we've done illegally.
Here.
So we had one of my friends brought a bunch of wormwood absinthe back from the Czech Republic. I think we may have talked about this before. Me, him, and Jared started drinking this thing called an atom bomb, and it's 2 ounces of wormwood absinthe and 2 ounces of Everclear. It's one shot.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That mentally just went inside my mind.
So that's basically like 8 shots because they're about, like, if it's vodka, it's 90% booze. So
and
it's basically like 2 of those.
In my defense, I don't know what I'm drinking.
At all.
No, I'm a drink.
I told you, hold on, time out. It's
going to be rough. All right. I'm a drinker, and I've been drinking my whole life, and I'm proud of that. But, I mean, a man's got to be good at something, right? You know, some people are like, hey, I'm good at selling stocks. I'm good at drinking.
Yeah.
Well, they tell me it's just whatever. Of course, you know, I'd probably get a few in me anyways, and I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Well, the outcome was not something that I expected at all.
Two things happened that night. The first one was that we walked outside, and he had taken, I think, 2 of these shots, which is basically like 14 to 16 shots. And we did 2 of them pretty much back to back within the course of about 20 minutes, I think.
Oof.
We walk outside because I think I was going to go smoke with Jared's first wife back in the day.
Okay.
This is like fucking 13 years ago or 11 years ago. So we go outside to smoke. Jared comes out with us. We look over to the left, and Jeff is like on a knee with his arm propped up on the air conditioning unit, pretty much blacked out. Yeah. And he was talking to it. I don't know what he was saying. And I don't know if he was talking to the AC unit or what the fuck was going on there, but he was in bad shape. And we were like, oh, there's that guy.
Yeah.
There's that guy. He had been gone out of the house for maybe 15 minutes.
So it hit that quick and you were gone.
Did you throw up at all? No, I don't think so.
No, he didn't throw up at all.
I just remember according to them, had a lengthy conversation with the AC unit.
But
I remember being on it, like either sitting on it or laying on it or I don't
know.
I just knew that was
you were on a knee with one arm propped up on it. I could see the image in my head right now.
Well, I was facing out, but I was probably drinking
You were probably pulling security. Yeah, it's probably honestly like your brain went back to reptile brain. It was like, I got to pull security. But he saw us at some point, looked up and started talking to us, and then went back to his conversation with the AC, which is apparently very important.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Then later on in the evening, we get him back inside. Later on in the evening, he's like, I got to piss. And he walks out front and tries to piss through the rungs of the fucking the porch, whatever. What's it called around the porch?
Yeah, the deck.
Yeah.
Like through the fucking slats of the deck, basically.
Instead of doing that, calling him, tell he us just, what that is.
Instead of doing that, he just pisses all over himself. Which, you know, we all look, we were urinating on ourselves a lot back then, to be fair.
I think how old were you at that point?
Let's see, what when was this? 2008. I was mid 30s. Yeah, mid 30s. I'm a tad older.
A little old to be pissing on yourself. Going to be real about that one. Nah. Probably 20s. It was the last time I pissed on myself, I think.
No, I'm going to be 48 this year, so I'm looking to piss all over myself now.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
If you take down.
I mean, it's almost to the point now that it's either piss myself in bed or get up in the middle of the night. I'd probably choose the easier of the two.
You got to get that ghost bed and get the mattress cover on there. You can piss all you want.
Does it come in black?
No, but the mattress cover protects the mattress from getting stained.
I'm looking for a black cover.
It does. By the way, it's a beautiful segue. Because that's actually our first sponsor, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. They're the mattress for if you're military or first responder. Those are the guys to go to. 15% off forever at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Scroll to the bottom of the page and you'll find a tab there. You can click that on and get 15% off of everything in the store. Sheets, pillows, mattresses, the cover, so you don't piss yourself. And as always at ghostbed.com/drinking bros, they've got a pay-as-you-go program, 36 months, no interest. No one on the interwebs is doing that today. Who else we got, D'Anthony?
Let's go Box of Awesome.
Let's go Box of Awesome. I love boxofawesome.com.
Yeah. I haven't actually requested one in a while. I need to go request a new one.
With all of these products, all you have to do is say the name, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Cause all of them we love. Box of Awesome is the raddest. You just have to fucking answer like a 5-question thing about if you're what kind of man you are in this life.
Oh.
And then they'll send you a box of awesome shit, depending upon what you...
Like hatchets, whiskey decanters, all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, it's like dude
stuff.
So if
you're not so much a awesome, you get... an awesome box compared to your personality.
Yeah, so like my first, I guess I said I traveled a lot. My first gift was a travel bag. Second one was a dop kit. A dop kit.
Oh, that's a dock kit.
A dock?
Like docking.
Oh, like docking for penises.
Or space docking.
Space docking.
Or two male penises, because there's a kit for that as well.
I like it's 2019, you have to say male penis now.
Yeah.
Excuse me, that's a female penis,
exactly.
Sir?
You've got to...
You have to specify.
Wow.
To say who it is. Otherwise, it could be, is that a trans penis? Or what kind of penis?
That's a gender-neutral penis.
Yeah.
It's a fluid penis.
It's a fluid penis is what it is.
Wow.
I got that. And then the next time I filled it out, I got like this knife that you put on your fist and then roll it over the meat.
Oh, yeah. Those things are dope. It's for like shredding meat or whatever.
Fucking awesome.
Fuck,
yeah. So every month you're like, dude, what's the cool shit? Yeah. And it looks super expensive and you're like, but it's only like $45 a month.
Yeah.
So go to boxofawesome.com. It's all bespoke posts.
It's like white labeled bespoke post stuff basically. Yes. So image or whatever the fuck, but like bespoke post. It's really legit.
Like the nicest shit ever.
Like I've got a whiskey decanter. I got a fucking cast iron pan with some ingredients to cook fucking pancakes and shit.
Yeah.
Like I get that's the kind of stuff I get.
Yeah, you get like the fun like cool shit like food wise. You got that jigger too, didn't you?
Yeah.
The weight shaker?
Yeah. Yeah, get the shake old sidewinder, brother.
I got the shake weight that has the that finishes in your face.
Yeah. All over your face.
How did I miss out on that?
Well, it's not
too late.
That's
that thing you kept under your bed for years.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a company like Box of Awesome, but it's for sex toys.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
But they're rentals.
By the way, before we get to that, go to boxofawesome.com, promo code DRINKINGBROS, get you 20% off that box. Sign up and get a subscription. I've had this thing for a while now.
So you're saying that we shouldn't have a sex toy rental company?
I'm saying you should, but I'm saying you should have an 82-day return policy.
Yeah, but why 82? I heard this earlier, and I was like, why you choose that number?
2.5 months, I think, is enough to try out your sex toys and be like, do I want these for life?
Well, that number to us means something, so I'd make it 101.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. 101.
101 days, because they're not really airborne.
They're not really airborne. They're fake, and that's exactly what they should be.
That's a third of the year.
Well, 101. I mean, it's more than 90.
I heard a fucked up story about you, that you lost a sex toy inside your body.
Okay.
No, I made that up.
Oh, that's not true?
No, it's not true, man.
Oh shit.
Which one
dude?
Did I lose?
I don't know. I don't have your inventory.
I thought you were dead serious when you said that.
That's just because I don't have emotions.
Okay, so if I had lost one, then technically it wouldn't be mine. It'd probably be somebody else's.
Somebody else's, yeah. Do you get down on that? You were pegged or anything?
Well, yeah, you never know. I'm not going to bring out my...
Really?
Yeah, you know what? I've always said this, and I'm going to stay strong because I'm a man.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't do anything fantasy like that fantasy football or fantasy... Not. The only thing fantasy happens in my world is in the bedroom.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your jam? You go to like cheerleader shit?
Well, you mean like porn?
No, like outfits. Like
oh!
Your girlfriend's here right now?
Yeah, she's right there.
Man, if we have to plug her in, get her on the show
that
to figure
could be
out
dangerous.
What you're into.
That could be
you
dangerous.
You got real nervous real quick on that.
Yeah, because she's got a mouth on her. Not like as in like good mouth, but like mouthy. Like she won't hold back.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Dress up, cosplay, that type
yeah,
of shit?
Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, we do. We like, matter of fact, we've been looking at, when we do the whole Oktoberfest thing.
Yeah.
Like, we went for that, but now we're looking for other stuff. Like you mentioned earlier about dressing up, going to the movie, looking like Rambo,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bingo, right over there.
No
Star
shit.
Wars. Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, happy nerd.
Do you have sex with her as Princess Leia?
No, we haven't got that far yet. Because she's got a Chewbacca.
Well, there's a new one coming out.
Did you fuck her as Chewbacca?
No, not yet, but she's got a Chewbacca onesie. Is it a onesie or some shit?
You should dress up like Han Solo and fuck her as Chewbacca.
Oh, that'd be so good, man.
That's something I definitely would probably film.
And you just growl the whole time. Fucking great. I would watch that all day.
If you fucked a Chewbacca, that'd be so awesome. I'd be so
proud
of you.
Yeah, that would be the best thing that ever happened.
Because those onesies are for sale, I think, at Walmart. It's that time of year.
Yeah, well, ask her. She's the pro on it.
And there's a new Star Wars coming out in December, right?
I got that.
Isn't there one coming out
on
Christmas?
Yeah,
again?
You can cut a hole in it. Just one hole in the Chewbacca thing, and you're good to go.
Where's a Wookiee? We don't know how many holes they have.
Where would you put the hole? Where would you put the hole?
Front or back?
Front or back?
I mean, we'd have to get with a Wookiee authority. Maybe it's like the flap. The flap, yeah. You just pull the flap down.
She's
bam.
Saying to cut the whole crotch out.
And then
she
looked like a what was those monkeys?
Which
got the bare ass.
Oh, the yeah.
Baboon. Then she looked like a baboon.
I like the blue ass baboon. That's my favorite. I know everybody's got their own favorite baboon. Mine's the blue ass one. I don't think that's a big deal.
Nah, I don't either.
I just like blue. My eyes are blue. It's normal.
Try to explain that to your 5 or 6 year old daughter at the zoo. While
I don't have a
5 or 6 year old
daughter because
it's like the creepiest shit ever.
What's it called? No morals.
That's it. There it is. No morals, and he shouldn't be a father.
See, I wish children on somebody like this right here.
I would be the best dad in the history of dads.
Do you think so?
Nah, I think he'd have to rival me. I'm a pretty cool dad. I got a good dad brand. Not that I'm into the whole branding thing, but my dad brand's pretty solid. Last year, I dressed up as Batman and picked her up at the school.
Be funnier if you dressed up as Batman.
Was she into that?
Oh my God, was she?
Was
so
she
into
six
that.
Back
that's
then?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, she's 6 years old. Yeah, you're right.
She's seven now.
We were going to her fall festival, which is politically correct for a Halloween party. So
is that what they fucking call it now?
Yeah, it's
God
a fall
damn it.
Festival.
Because my child just started kindergarten, right?
Yeah.
So I'm getting into everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked if she thought it was cool because I drop him off for school in the morning.
Right.
And he almost doesn't want to say goodbye anymore. It depends on who, is outside the door, and I'm like, are we starting this at 5, bro? Were you too fucking cool?
Nah, she's pretty...
Girls are different.
Yeah, but even though, I mean, so how it all planned out, I was supposed to pick her up at school. We won't go down the long train of abuses, but I had to deal with the school system, how to do it, but...
Don't get me started on school systems.
Oh, baby, we could just go hard, because you know what? I just came from curriculum night, all right, and 2 + 2 is no longer 4. It doesn't equal 4, anyways, so...
What do they have options for it now?
Yeah, there's options. 2 + 2 could also be 3 + 1, but they don't want anything as equal. That's how it was explained to me. And
you're kidding.
Yeah, I was just like.
What's the purpose of that?
I don't know.
I mean, technically, if you put an equal sign in the middle and you put.
They don't want the equal sign anymore.
Well, that's math. I'm sorry. You can't.
Well, that's what I said.
Math,
but
yeah.
But
mean,
if you put an equal sign in the middle.
First grade teacher looked at me like, no, Mr. Taylor. We want our children to. First, we want them to. Start working the problem themselves. I'm like, all right, it's cool.
Oh,
and then
no.
We want them to work collectively as a group and then oof. To come up with a system. So basically what it turns out is the dumb kid in the corner getting the answers
from
the smart kids at the table so everybody's on the same playing field. That's how I kind of saw it.
What's offensive about the word Halloween, though? Is it because of, like, witchcraft or something? Are people afraid that witches are real? Because that's not real.
Yeah, has that become a thing now?
You said they call it the fall
festival
or whatever.
Yeah, not allowed to call it Halloween because people don't, I don't know, ask those people.
God damn it.
I mean, that sounds like something from church. They're like, oh, we're having a fall party.
Yeah,
like,
we're having a fall fest because they don't want to offend
just
anybody.
Relax. It's for kids, fuckface.
So anyway, yeah.
Like, I don't believe in fucking Christianity. That doesn't mean I'm not going to celebrate Christmas with my kids if I have kids.
No, yeah. I'm the same way. I celebrate Christmas. I believe that the guy was born? Yeah, but I mean.
You're talking about St. Nick, German guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Into the poo porn. A lot of people don't know that about St. Nicholas.
Oh,
because I mean, it's healthy for any child to visualize a big fat man coming down your chimney, breaking into your house, and leaving presents for you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's okay.
One of the things that we wanted to do at Black Rifle, and we just thought it would be too much, considering all the gun stuff that's been going on the last 4 or 5 years. But we wanted to do a sketch where Santa's coming down the chimney and he just gets lit the fuck up by somebody. We were like, no, we can't murder Santa.
Yeah,
somebody's kids are going to see that and they're going to complain and blah blah blah. But look, Santa comes into my house. We're gonna have a little tea party, all right?
Are you teabagging or are you just blowing him away?
I'm just going to shoot him in both of his knees and ask him what the fuck he's doing in my house. You have to collect the tell. You can't just kill people right off. You have to see.
Yeah, you got to. You just can't smoke a dude. You got to tell him like, hey, you know, hey, get out of my house. You know. What are you doing in here?
Yeah.
Because he could be looking at you like, oh, shit, man, I just came in for a cup of tea or a cup of sugar.
Sure, sure.
No, I kicked your window in or your door, but, hey, you got any sugar, and you smoke him, and you don't kill him.
I wonder if going through the chimney is even breaking and entering, because technically, for it to be burglary, there has to be, like, you have to break something, some kind of device meant to keep
you out.
He breaks
his ass when he falls down into the
I know, right?
Chin.
But you have to cross some barrier that was put there specifically to keep you out. That's the textbook definition of burglary. So
okay, you see, ever see the top of a chimney? That hole's not really big. First of all, I don't know how the fat
this
guy
is a real conversation.
It's magic, bitch.
Yeah, we're magic.
This is all magic. It was all magic. So you show up as Batman.
Yeah, so I'm a Batman. So I let the school know because it was a fall festival, and I bought her a little Harley Quinn outfit because that's what she was into at the time, and not the provocative Harley Quinn.
Super slutty one, yeah.
Yeah, the DC superhero high girl thing, the Lego world. And
what if we were to hire a bum to play the Joker, and you show up as Batman at the school, the elementary school, and just beat the fucking balls
off this
guy?
We're going to get to that point, what I had to do when I sent the email. They said that I wanted to come pick her up, and I let them know that I was coming as Batman, so that way I was like, so you don't shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
So then they were a little upset about that. But so I show up. And I got her a little card, and I walk up there, and she was standing out front that day because she was going to be a car rider because they got, you know, car rider or ride the bus or be picked up after school with the daycare thing. And so I was standing there, and she didn't recognize me until she saw Batman standing there, and then she saw her sign that said her name on it, and then she come running over, the biggest smile in the world, and even the principal was like, she said, Mr. I've never ever had Batman come on campus to pick up a child before. She's like, that was so super awesome.
Oh, that's rad.
So then I went to the fall festival as Batman. I'm touring around talking to the kids. Yeah, I mean, come on. I wish my dad had dressed up as Batman.
How legit was your outfit?
It wasn't a great one, but it was Batman.
It was black pajamas. He just drew the word Batman on the shirt.
I mean, it would be a low-level cosplay. I mean, yeah, not a good one, but I mean, it's a starter.
Is it cos? I've been saying cosplay for
I don't know.
I don't either. It is cosplay. The girlfriend's correcting you.
Well, I know.
She would know. She's
do,
the one that dresses up to go to movies.
She's the one that dresses
she knows
up.
That she's a perfect. Yeah.
Yep. We're not going to go any further off camera.
What if you? What
I
if
can
you,
tell by the look in your eyes you get crazy.
What if you dressed up like Batman and went to that fall festival and just started telling all the kids that Santa Claus is not real?
Ugh. That's something classic Dan would do.
I would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Those are the shit that he has thought of and saying we'd be around drinking.
It's
and,
far better.
And be like, you know what? Let's dress up and go tell all these kids. Man, like, dude, what is wrong with you? You got to draw the line of being.
Here's the line.
He has no line.
It's far better
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he does because he would never in his life do that.
No, I wouldn't do that. But it's far better to accept the world as it is than persist in delusion, no matter how gratifying it is. That's Carl Sagan.
Yeah, so. It is. But did Carl Sagan ever go to a school board meeting? I took Dan to a school board meeting the other
night.
Nice. Yeah.
How'd he do?
It was fine. But, you know.
You can see him, little antsy in his chair ready to.
That whole experience is, you know. hilarious when you see how the system works and all that other shit.
And it's horrible. You know what really upset me about the whole thing is how the teachers during our it was called a curriculum night, mm-hmm. where they were talking about the curriculum where our children would be going through, as if it's Harvard. They try to make you feel dumb.
Well, there's two things to that. So I'm fortunate enough, my kids go to a school where the teachers are fantastic. Like, it was a rare sitch where the kindergarten teacher actually came over to our house.
Really?
Before the school started, introduced herself and dropped off a book about what kindergarten was going to be like and all that stuff. So the teachers are fantastic. The school board itself has got their own fucking bullshit going on. So,
well, the one guy we talked to last time, he seems like an all right guy.
Well, the thing is, the teachers themselves, that even the principal at my daughter's school is a superwoman. She's probably mid-30s woman. I mean, just dedicated to her cause. I mean, she cares.
You have to be, because you don't get paid shit to do those
jobs. Once you leave the classroom and you get outside of school to those school boards, the elected positions, and those people that haven't been in the classrooms in 20 or 30 years, they're so out of touch with how students are. That, you're right, that's where the problem starts with our education system.
Yeah. Because, look, then you start getting into busing and travel and all that other shit, and none of it's lined up right.
I don't even know why we waste money on school buses anymore, because everybody drops their damn kids off.
I believe in the school bus. I believe
in
public schools. I believe in school buses and all that shit, because, I went through it. There's certain experiences you learn on a school bus that kind of help you later on in life.
You don't want to.
There's certain words you can say on a school bus,
yes,
that you can't say at home and your mother at that age.
100%.
Exactly.
You also learn how to communicate as a human being. Like, all these incels, these Antifa dickholes, they probably went to private school and didn't learn how to communicate with other human beings in a meaningful way.
Yes.
Because I honestly fucking believe that is the case.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers, they just can't relate to other people. Like, If someone disagrees with you on a school bus, you're like, oh, I don't think that. Like, oh, well, we can either yell at each other or fight, or we can go
back
to
it out. There's some shit.
Or we can go back to doing whatever the fuck we were doing. Now you can't do any of that. You can't play dodgeball, for fuck's sake. Like, you can't do all the conflict resolution that you used to learn as a child through whatever it was, right? The social interaction in general, or like low level violence, like slapping each other around or yelling at each other. It's gone now. And what's happened throughout those years? Now people immediately pick up a gun, walk into a movie theater, and start shooting the place up. Like, if you don't teach people how to resolve conflicts in a peaceful and somewhat peaceful and meaningful way, the long-lasting way, then stuff builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
That person doesn't feel like they have any other option other than to go make their voice heard the way that fucking Pearl Jam talked about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Jeremy Spoken.
Yeah. So it's like, come on, man. Let's fucking pay a little bit of attention to the way life works, motherfucker.
Yeah, because I think back in the day, growing up in my era, that if you were that kid that was got picked on a lot, you had two options. Either take it, because they were always the super smart kids. They ended up at some big Ivy League school, and they came back 20-year reunion like a multi-billionaire computer software. I'm like, yep, you used to pick on me, and now
I can buy
now
you.
I own you. Now you work for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the whole Marty McFly Biff scene going on there.
Which there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
Right, no.
Otherwise, how do you have that motivation to go and do that type of shit? There's the other school where the worst beating I took in my life was on a bus. This kid was talking shit. I thought I could take him. We were sitting down. Told him to get off at my stop. He fucking knew jiu-jitsu. I mean, I got housed. And I didn't even see it. I think I got kicked in the throat, face, chest, and both arms. And like, less than 4 seconds, I was on the ground. I get the shit kicked out of me, and I was like, oh, man, there is only so much shit you can talk on a bus. But then also, if I wanted to continue to talk shit, I better learn to fight really great. And that's what I did. But
I mean, we don't condone or condemn the violence, but at the same time.
Not at all. But I would say this. It was in a safe way where, fuck, all the other kids got off on the bus. You know, you're getting the shit kicked out of you. Somebody pulls them off, and then that's it. And you start.
It's the same thing with preacher's daughters. They get told that sex is bad their whole life, and as soon as they get fucking any semblance of freedom, they fuck everything that moves.
Yeah.
And if you tell these kids
why are you talking about my life like this?
you start telling these kids that low-level violence as a means of conflict resolution that's the worst, that's bullying, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. No, the worst thing that could ever happen is that kid never deals with these issues and he comes back at 16 to 21 and shoots a bunch of people for no fucking reason.
Yeah, like you were mentioning earlier, the basement people.
Yeah.
Incels.
And that's
involuntary celibate.
Yeah, and that's look, the craziest kid I ever met in my life was a preacher's kid. Same thing. That guy lost his mind, and he's fucking dead now. I mean, he
it
pushed
happens
it
a lot.
Every, I know. And it was like, you know, you're one of those people where I grew up in Georgia, and you're like, mm-hmm. come on, man. Everybody loves the preacher. Their kid's got to be great, too. And it was
everybody
like,
loved
no.
the preacher's daughter, too.
Anybody that grew up in the South knows that preacher's kids are the worst people.
Yeah, we were just talking about this the other night.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, we actually, I think we were coming back from, and we were talking about, I don't know what we got on that tangent, but we were talking about the worst kids in school were the cops' kids, because they're always in trouble, but they get out of it.
Yeah.
The preacher's daughter, the preacher's kids, because they never got held to any type of, their standard was different because they didn't want that coming out in church on Sunday. So they got away with everything. Because I don't know, something with the thing that I'm that type of guy that if it can happen to, I mean, I buy a new truck and I'm not out of the parking lot within 10 miles and a rock comes up and chips my window. So I got to get a new window replaced. So they pay to get it replaced, and I'm leaving the place to replace my window. I'm not 10, 15 miles down the road. Guess what happens? Another rock. Another
yeah, yeah, exactly.
That happens to me. Like, I never get over on anything. I never got over anything in the Army either. But these people just get away with it, like, continuously.
I know. I get a kid that I went to school with, ended up being a preacher, becoming a preacher. And he follows. He used to follow and unfollow me every 2 months on Facebook for, like, 2 years. Finally, I just said, and I get a message from him because I didn't click the friend request anymore.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't understand, man. Why don't you click the thing? And I was like, whatever you're going through, you know, preacher wise and all that shit is rad. And I appreciate that you're doing it. And this is what you wanted to do in life. However, I can't accept your shit every time. And he goes, Ross, man, you're so funny, but it's so crass, dude, that I can't let people know that I'm friends with you. And I was like, awesome. So we're done with that. And if you have any other messages you'd like to send me,
what he was truly doing was he'd friend you. He'd spend a couple months writing sermons about everything you shouldn't do. And then he'd duck off on you. And then he'd be like, I need some shit to write about.
Yeah.
And
give you're his son. Muse, man.
Could be.
You're his little angel.
Yeah, I'd say his name. But
I've got something similar going on right now.
With what?
With a person on the internet. On Facebook, exactly. So you know how Facebook is very good at finding pictures of you and saying, hey, is this your picture? Do you want to tag yourself?
Yeah.
And there's a meme of me, Jared, and this woman he used to date. She's kind of famous. Let you guys look for her.
Okay.
Canadian chick. Anyways, so this guy keeps posting, or he posted this meme, I think it was in April of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it pops up all the time, and I keep tagging myself in it, and he untags me. I tag myself in it probably 3 or 4 times a week.
No
way. I go
way.
Back and I'm never going to stop. So if you're out there and you know me or you found this, I'm never fucking stopping. You can either delete that picture because it's my fucking picture, or you can just accept the fact that I'm tagging myself with it. Either way, get fucked.
That's really fucking
I'll
funny.
Never, you know me, I'll never fucking stop. I have nothing better to do. We work like 20 hours a week. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's
fucking, I'll go home today and just monitor his page and wait for it to happen. I have nothing to do.
Yeah, you except, don't. I have, fuck.
You have children.
I have children and then another show and then another fucking book too and all that shit. Yeah. I wish there was more goddamn time in the day.
No, you'll get there.
I hope not. Right?
Dude, at my age now, having a daughter at 6, going to be 7, dude, it's the most awesome thing in the world.
How many hours a week do you work?
It depends. Where I'm at right now, I'm supposed to be part-time. So at first, they started me a little bit harder, and I was like, about anywhere 20, 25 hours a week. And then when I do the
They don't want you to go 30 because they'll have to give you health insurance.
I don't need health insurance.
I know you don't need it, but they're legally required to give it to
America.
You.
Thank you, America.
Yeah.
I think it's like what they consider full time, like 35 hours.
It's 30.
Yeah, 30 hours or whatever.
The Affordable Care Act is 30.
But we don't have that anymore.
See, I always wonder this.
Well, it's not a law that you have to have it.
Well,
it depends on the size of the company and the size of your company. They definitely have to have
my
it.
My company's pretty big.
Yeah, they definitely have to have it. Because my question is this. Like, I work a lot. We travel a lot also for what we do.
Yeah, I say I only worked 20 hours a week, but when it's travel week, we work like 90 hours a week. So it balances out throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have children either.
Like, no. And I get another fucking show, obviously. But with that, I wish there's a moment where you're like, man, I wish there was a dollar amount that you could just check off and be like, all right, cool, man. I'm just going to watch my kids grow up. Is that where you're at now, where you're like, man, I get to spend more time with my children?
Yeah. Is there a dollar amount? Everything I do now,
mm-hmm.
like work-wise, is for her future. I got to have, that's the reason why I work like two or three people. Like, dude, you're retired. Like so many of our guys I retire with are retired in the past year. Like, dude, you're retired. Why are you working? I'm like, because I still got a 7-year-old.
Right.
And I just don't, there's only so much drinking you can do in a day. Like, I'll work for a couple days and I'll be at the house for a couple days. I like 2 or 3 days. I'm like, I got to get involved in something.
Sure.
Because, I mean,
yeah, you don't want to rot at home.
Exactly. And we've seen, I've had too many of my Army veteran buddies that are retired that we've had to bail out in the past 2 or 3 years that never progressed past that phase of, okay, I'm in the Army, I'm retiring, what's life look like after? Which I chose a path long before that because I never thought I would retire. I didn't think I'd make it to there. I mean, I thought I'd get kicked out long before that, especially being friends with these idiots.
Yeah.
But I did. And then I had to start looking about 5 years before I made that decision to make that retirement decision that what was life going to look like after the Army. We call that, you know, coming full circle. I have so many of my friends that are friends of friends that guys just never come full circle. They think when the moment they walk out of the military that some Fortune 500 company is going to offer them a $150,000 a year job. Well, brother, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to get your ass back in there. You know, maybe start at a bar. I mean, I took part-time jobs. I mean, I worked at a golf course picking up golf balls for like $8 an hour just because it was something to do.
Sure.
Just to get around and be able to recommunicate with
people.
Yeah,
but that was at Pinehurst, right?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty nice golf course.
It's a pretty prestigious golf.
You were
golf
doing
course.
It just so you could play on the course.
Yeah. All right,
so, yeah, okay, we got a pretty good benefit to play out there. All right, so don't tell anybody. And everybody run out there for an $8 an hour job. I mean, those guys at Pinehurst I work with are great guys, great golf courses, and that's probably one of the – it's the golf mecca of America, man. It's great courses.
It is, yeah. So let me ask you this. Is the money good enough when you retire to take care of yourself? Like, are you working just to work? Are you working because you need the extra money?
Depends on what you did prior to that.
Yeah, because I don't know that world, so I don't know.
I mean, honestly,
what it's like.
if I would have
none of my friends retired,
right? But so. if I would have retired and said, hey, and not done anything prior to that, I got to watch what I say. I got a few ex-wives out there.
Oh, I know. Trust me. So my uncle retired.
And by the way, we're divorced and it's final. Can't take me back to court on any of that. No, but I mean, you should have asked for it when you had the opportunity.
Well, for military pensions, you had to be together for 10 years.
Well,
plus.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I thought that too, because the state of North Carolina, God bless it, can award, and they will award, a percentage of the time that you were married. So DFAS,
really?
Department of Defense and Accounting Services, says you have to be 10 years before they get involved, in which they were trying to pass a law right about the time of my last divorce to say, okay, we don't care if it's 1 year or 10 years. But they never went through. So the North Carolina can say, which I don't understand how a state can supersede federal government, and when it happens, North Carolina can say, okay, you're married for 5 years, and they're going to take your retirement and give her a portion of that 5 years. So it turns out to be like 1.5% or 0.15% or something like that, what they'll receive. So North Carolina can't. Some states don't even deal with that, but the fact that we have so many military installations here with the Marine Corps, the Army, the Air Force, everything, and we're a big military state, mm-hmm. you know, they get involved in that nonsense and that rhetoric. So. And, you know, I've said it 1,000 times to my buddies going through divorces, you know, don't be that guy. You know, pay your, whatever they tell you, you want the child to have the same type of lifestyle with the mother or when they're with you.
Sure.
You know, most guys go through that divorce and they're like, oh, I'm free now, I'm going to go party and do that crazy nonsense. And I'm on the opposite side of that fence saying, do the right thing, both morally and financially.
Yeah, we were on a cruise a couple of weeks ago and we were trying to get off the last day and two assholes had boarded the cruise, and they both had warrants for not paying child support.
Yeah.
By the way, they weren't drinking bros.
No, they weren't our people.
They were just some other...
Just two assholes.
They were deadbeat dads.
Two
local dicks to Texas, but yeah, non-drinking bros.
Yeah.
They held up the fucking cruise for that. It was crazy.
I think I wrote their names down somewhere.
Back to Ross, what you were saying, that if I would have just retired, like, okay, I'm here one day, I'm gone to next, and here comes my pension, nah, I would have had to continue to work. If I wouldn't have taken the proper steps with the TSP or, you know, investing earlier in my career and saving a little bit of that money, then no, I would have had to continue to work, probably a full-time job. So now at being semi-retired, I can make the choice of what I do, what I don't do. And that income really is for the future of my daughter or what I consider my play, or excuse me, my play money, my fun money.
Okay.
What I want to do and go play golf or buy a retirement present or, you know, whatever I want. But you need, most people need some sense of income. I mean.
Gotcha. I didn't know if it was great enough that, you know.
Some people are. It all depends on what rank you get out at. I mean, some of these guys get a pretty hefty retirement. It's not a pension. It's retirement.
Is that more or less incentive to keep going and, you know, move
you
up
hit
the ranks
certain
to the
markers? So at 20 years, then 25, then 30, then 35.
Right. Now, now that we've come to a, and I hate to call it this because we still got brethren downrange, especially in Afghanistan, that are still fighting every day, that the service limitations now have come back where you have to reach a certain rank in a certain period of time, or the Army tells you, or the Marine Corps, or Air Force, or whomever tells you, hey, thanks for coming, but you didn't, you reached your enlistment potential, and if you don't make a rank by a certain time of service, then you got to go. So,
and you lasted 25 years?
I lasted 25 years, to go figure. And if I did it, anybody can.
Was there any thought of going 30, 35 years?
I could have stayed three or four more years on my service limitations. And I decided that when I got there, I was done.
Because you couldn't reach 30?
Well, not that. I didn't want to even try. I'd had enough of it. I'd got to the end of it. Guys like this, the guys I'd served with, the guys I'd fought in the wars with, all the guys that were that brethren, a lot of them were moved on. They either gotten out when, like Dan went back to college, or, you know, guys like Jared, when Jared got out and he kind of came back in and worked, Air Force Reserve, Air Guard.
Air Guard, yeah.
Air Guard. A lot of guys had said to hell with it. I mean, we got beat up for years. I mean, I can go down this long train of you know, what combat looked like in the First World War and then the Second World War and then the Korean War and Vietnam, and how much time these guys actually saw what we refer to as combat. You know, we lived in the middle of just north of Sauter City.
Yeah. In World War II, the average soldier saw something like 40-ish days of combat a year,
I think. Yeah, it's like 10 to 14 days of actual combat. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we're not saying like seeing the enemy every day, just being in a combat environment.
Yeah.
Vietnam, it was somewhere around 20 days. You know, my father's a Vietnam veteran himself, where they actually were out there every day, either on patrol or doing something in a combat scenario where that elevation of that risk and stress is much higher.
Yeah.
We lived north of Sauter City for 15 months.
It was about 800,000 meters away, give or take, something like that.
It was
from the border.
We were the most northern part of that. I mean, within a 5 or 10 minute drive, we were in the northern part of Sauter City. And every day we were rocketed. We were mortared.
Like, we do
two or three patrols
a day, then we go out at night and kick doors down all night.
Got
for
it.
15 fucking months.
15 and months.
At some point in that period, you get a week off to go do other shit. Every now and again, you'll go back to the main base for 2 days.
Refit.
And
get harassed by
pogues. But it's different.
By pogues.
It's definitely different, yeah. People are like, oh, go get your hands out of your pockets. They're like, dude, I just murdered 70 people.
Right.
Good. My hands are cool.
I'm good with that fucking.
Well, no, he's not. I mean, the number's a little high, but I mean, we would go in. We knew we'd have a refit coming out of Cop Callahan. Yeah. And Dodie, if you're listening, hi.
Yep.
Keith's wife, his widow. That we would go in that night. So when we were heading down into a mission in Sauter City, we would just pack our bags. Like, we knew we'd no sooner finish up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, hit the highway, and then we'd be back at the main camp.
What he's saying is when we left, we'd leave the main camp to go back to our combat outpost.
Right, we would leave the combat outpost. We'd go on mission, probably getting in a good scuffle down there, you know, just some boys having at it. And then we'd finish up there, and then we would just drive all the way back to our big camp where everybody was at. And then we'd be on like a 72-hour refit. So the first thing you want to do when your young soldiers go in there, you know, we've been eating shrimp scampi for three meals a day for
the disgusting fucking mermites, they call
it. Horrible. We ate the same thing for months on end. And, you know, they go to this big chow hall where, I mean, they got ice cream, they got coffee. You know, I'm not going to deprive a young soldier from going in there and getting his eat on. You know, he's been eating shit for, you know, 3 or 4 months.
Some of these guys have been away from their... from high school for 6-8 months yeah. at this point.
Ugh, right. God.
And this is the worst conditions a human being can be
yeah,
in.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And and when you get back to the main camp, you show up with a dirty uniform on, they kick the civilian
yeah,
people
we had
there.
Some,
we'll
I
kick
had,
you
I
out.
Had a couple Air Force officers, I'm not going to say gender, but Air Force officers made comment one night we went in there and
like, you stink. You guys stink.
Yeah, they come up and they're like,
yeah,
you
it's
guys
called war,
smell.
Bitch.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, we were just in a scuffle down in Sauter City. We come back for 7 hours, and I'm not going to tell my boys they can't leave. They're going to eat their fill, and they're going to stick.
Because the chow hall's not open 24 hours a day. Yeah. It's open for specific times during the day. If I get back as an NCO, my guys are dirty, but the chow hall's open for another half hour, they're going to eat. If somebody's got to say something about it, they're going to get their fucking shit pushed in, to be honest.
Gotcha.
Like, you can get fucked with that bullshit.
So let me ask you about Sauter City, because I use a quote from Jocko. Was it that bad in there?
It depends,
we use,
man.
There's 4 million people there, yeah, and there were like about 500 of us.
Yeah.
Was it really as fucking dangerous?
Dude,
as
soon as we crossed the border into Sauter City, we start taking small arms fire, and then we start taking indirect after that.
Yeah, we
every
would
single
see,
time
as
we, were
as,
going
we
there.
Be, as we were. Go down on mission as we'd start heading down into Sauter City. Our routes, we could see them start with their.
You see people.
Oh, wait a minute now.
People
hold,
in the quarters
hold up,
with
you know,
cell
I'm,
phones.
I'm telling
and
lies
shit.
Here because according to our command that this was not happening. that we could see them signaling all the way down.
Yeah, you see people in the corners of streets with cell phones calling, yeah. And then you see people marshaling down the street. Yeah. Like, luckily, at some point, in the beginning of the war, they classified a cell phone as a crew served weapon, which means you could shoot that motherfucker. If I'm going in for an operation, I see somebody with a phone. Unfortunately for us, our command were a bunch of fucking pussies. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. We'll end up on the news. Like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll end up alive on the news. Right. Sounds great, brother.
Well, the old cliche is I'd rather be tried by six than carried by, or tried by 12 than yeah. carried by six. So,
ah, shit.
Yeah. It was a different era. And, you know, not that I'll support, you know, decisions that they made or the restraints they put on us. You know, they got lives too. But some of us grew up in that era. If we're going to go do something, let's do it. We were at that point of the war where things were really bad. President Bush made the decision to go ahead and do this surge thing, which changed the war. It really did. It did swing it for us, what they've done after that. But when we first went in there, it was tough. I mean, we took some, excuse me, we took some good, you know, we lost some good people, really good people. That's one thing that I said that when, you know, we got here, I said I hadn't seen Dan in quite a while. And we all experienced something together where we lost a really, really good kid. You know, I just happened to be the guy who was in charge of that day, so I feel a lot of guilt about that. But seeing him again after all this time brings it back. But at the same time, tries to put some closure on it that, you know, these are things we have to deal with. But back to the Sauter City thing, that it depends, man. Some days we'd go down there and they'd be happy to see us. You know, but they were always gathering intelligence on us. And then some nights we'd go down there and it would just be a slugfest from the moment we walked in to the moment we walked out of there. Because when we went back in the surge, when we going to surge, 07? Late 06, 07.
It was, well, we got called up 27th of December 2006.
Yeah. Yeah, so we actually got
there.
We were
in country 07. January 3rd.
No, 07. We were the first American troops really to go in force in Sauter City since like 04.
04, yeah.
Yeah, since the last time they tried to take it and they rolled tanks in there and got pushed out. So it was a big thing for us to be able to go down in there and be able to operate with a PSYOPs or a CA guys to try to reestablish it. Trying to make something out of it because we knew it was a haven.
Yeah, because it was Saddam City before, and it was Saddam International Airport and all that shit.
Right.
Muqtada al-Sadr took it over as soon as fucking Saddam got clipped. He was already a big militia leader there, and he controlled all the Shia, which is the Iranian version of Muslim, basically. So they had the back. He actually was hiding in Iran for some of the time we were there, and then he head down south, I think, because we were looking for that motherfucker too. But it's the worst place on earth, I think, Sauter City is.
I
honestly.
Think it's probably one of the top 10 vacation spots. I think most Americans should go get it. And
yeah, you can get a one bedroom there right now. No AC.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, a lot of these people that, you know, have big opinions, especially these folks on the news, they say, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, something.
Pick up a rifle and go have a,
yeah, exactly.
have a look at it.
Exactly. They never will. Something I've always been curious about since you guys are here together. And when's the last time you saw Dan?
2010, probably.
We did Haiti, didn't we? We did Haiti.
I didn't go to Haiti.
I did.
But I was there when you guys got back.
Another one of those top vacation spots. Love it.
Everybody loves Haiti.
Try to tip it over just like Guam.
No, the thing I've always been curious about is when you're over there, right? And you're, I'm assuming you guys were best friends, you and Jared. And
we,
you
know, spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, we spent a lot of, and
like we weren't even.
This is unfortunate.
What I wanted to ask was what's that like for you when your best friends leave? And you're still there. Does that make it harder every day?
Yeah, it does. did Jared leave before us?
Yeah, he went down to Hurlburt in Florida.
Yeah, he did.
Are you talking about the war?
The war.
Yeah, he left. No, he didn't leave. He went to
he left
with Crispy's unit to the one. First ID or whatever.
When guys rotate in and out, and you lose guys, not saying like die, but when the guys leave or you know, they roll over to a different company or they got to go back stateside to go to schooling or their children are being born or whatever, we try to, you know, you miss that. You have that sense of, you know, Jared had such a connection stateside that would send him stuff. I mean, it wasn't like we got a box with a couple candy bars. Jared was having boxes of like Snickers scent. I mean, so, you know, you come back or him sitting there with his guitar playing it or creating hate and discontent like he usually does, just being him, and you come in and he's not there. I mean, we use that as release. I mean, we all have release. I remember one night we all set up one night playing that stupid video game where we were singing just like children just because we wanted a release, and you use those things. So when that thing's not there, I mean, you got to either find it and you got to find an outlet. And believe it or not, that – though we're still surrounded, you got to have an outlet. I mean, if it's music or, I don't know, we probably watch Super Troopers, I don't know, 1,000 times because we all laugh at the same scenes. I mean, that was our movie on deployment that we just watched over and over. And even but when I watch it today, I still think of those guys that were in my truck, like Wade Vister or Thurston or the guys that we rolled with just talking to, and just saying those lines over and over and over again.
It's funny that you bring up Super Troopers. That was everybody asked like who our favorite guest was of all time.
Steve Lemmy, yeah, he's up there.
Well, Jared, the reason I bring that up, Jared was that's the happiest I've ever seen him was when Steve Lemmy walked in from Super Troopers and did the show. And dude, he knew every line.
That was our movie. That was Cop Callahan movie. That was Bravo Company's movie. And Jared worked right along. He lived right up there with us in HAC Company. But we watched that. I mean, we know that movie so. I mean, that's our movie. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's funny. So what do you, after these guys leave, are you essentially just starting new friendships over again? How does that work exactly?
No. Excuse me. Seeing him today after all this time is like I would walk down the hall and see him in the blue room. And
it just doesn't change, right?
It doesn't change, no. Yeah. No, that, you know, we talk about, that love, it's what it is. I mean, I have brothers. My closest people to my life are the guys I serve with. They're my real brothers. Those are the guys that that endured the same things. I trusted my life with. They trusted their lives with me. I don't know why, but because at the end of the day, there were times that I knew that I would put them in positions that. Could have cost them their lives, but they never said no. They did it out of respect for me because they knew that I would be there right behind them.
We've been in a number of gunfights together.
I remember that one gunfight running down the street with that asshole showed that RPG at us. Oh, Jesus, that was funny as shit. They're like, oh, I did it. Bounced off. It was so hot day.
Like,
an RPG?
He skipped it.
Singer House, our first sergeant at the time and I are about 10 feet apart. And this fucking RPG comes right down the middle of us. And we both look at each other and, like, look back at it and look at each other and, like, RPG. It's like it all happened in slow motion. It was fucking funny, to be honest.
So we saw him at the end of the street, and then we started bounding.
Yeah, you and I were on one side, and he and Walter were on the other side.
Yeah, Dan. Yeah, Disco Dan, China Welder, our medic. And we caught those dudes. It wasn't that day we caught them. The dudes in the BMW.
No, that was when
they were on their first ever. This was their trial for some.
They were a hit team.
Hit team for
four man hit team.
Yeah, some ethnic cleansing.
Yeah. So what was it? It was a effectively like a mob style real estate scam. So Muqtada
Al Sadr always drive the worst banged up BMWs.
Yeah, they look like shit. So they would go. It was a predominantly Shia area right there. So they would, the Shia clerics would say to Sunni people, "You can either leave and give us your house, or we're going to kill you." Right. So they would send these 4-man squads out to intimidate and threaten them and all this other bullshit. Well, the Golden Mosque in Samarra got blown up, so there was a nationwide curfew in effect. And we're out patrolling one day, and it was Dan Riffle, if I remember correctly, dude through the car. Like, so this, we saw this one car driving, and we're like, nope, that's 4 military age dudes in a car together
in
during
a black,
fucking
busted ass BMW
during a fucking nationwide curfew. No fucking way,
bro. It was
bro.
Definitely a bolo.
So
on the lookout.
We start chasing them. They're accelerating. So one of them pulls a weapon out. Guy sees the one of our front gunners sees a weapon through the window, and this fucking lights dude up, shoots him through the arm.
Now, to interject here, sorry, Dan, but now we're in these Humvees. They're all up armored. Yep. These things are not fast.
They're slow as shit.
Yeah, they're slow as shit. An old woman, 90 years old, rascal, goes faster than these things. So you figure these dudes, but even though it's a busted-ass 5 series, they can get after it. So the only way, for us to get them to stop is, hey, stop, we're going to shoot, and then just light them up. And then that's what Riff did, and he lit them up and busted them boys up a little bit.
So we're pulled over for way too long because we're in a T intersection and that's a bad place to be.
Is this where China was?
Nope. That's a war crime, so I'm not going to talk about that. But something way funnier than that happened. So we're me, him, I think McQuilkin and Welter are walking around looking for any more assholes that are around because these guys, the car stopped after Riffle shot them, and three of the dudes bolted.
Let's be honest about this whole thing. There was a bread store in the next block we were thinking about getting some flatbread from.
Oh, yeah, Samoon. It's really good.
It's really good, and that's how it's, we had spotted it, so we were just trying to wait to for the head shed to finish up their bullshit so we could run over here real fast and buy some of this bread that was illegal to buy off the market, but
so
it's really good.
We thought these guys were all gone. They had all bolted or whatever, and we're walking around inspecting shit, and he walks over next to the car, and he, like, bends over and leans under and goes, oh, there's one of these assholes right here. The guy was hiding under a fucking car like 10 feet away from us. Like, you fucking kidding me, you stupid bitch? You didn't think we were going to see you? So we drag his ass out of there. He tells us where all his friends live. It was a good day, all in all.
Did you get the flatbread?
Yeah. We ate it with Happy Cow Cheese,
Cow Cheese, yeah. I mean, again, little tidbits
little
of life.
Luxuries,
that, yeah, little luxuries. I mean, some flatbread, some Happy Cow.
But anyways, we're standing there. We're posted up, pulling security and whatever, and one of our gunner nearest to the T of the T intersection up there wasn't paying attention, I guess. Some guy comes around the corner with an RPG, fires. It goes right down the middle of our shit. And I'm on one side of the street with my first sergeant, my medic. And I turn down the street. This car is pulling down it. I just fucking shot into the window a couple times. I don't know what happened there. But he was there at the wrong time, so whatever. Then I cross the street. Me and him are bounding down one side, and the first sergeant and medic are bounding down the other side back and forth. And this poor dump truck comes around the corner. And I'm like, I don't know that this guy's up to no good, but usually dump trucks don't go down fucking
a street about the size of this.
Yeah. I'm like, nope. We're not getting blown up by 6,000
exactly.
pounds.
That's what they
of
like
shit.
To use as big V-beds. They fill
so
them
we
up with explosives.
Fucking lit. We fired so many rounds at that thing. I think I went black on ammo. Like, we just like, bah, 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 just like went off on this dude. And
is the guy still alive today?
Definitely not. But the weirdest thing in my life.
Walk down here and find out.
This is the weirdest thing that I ever saw in any combat scenario ever. There was a lull, it was all over. And this old lady, remember that old lady walks out
dude,
and starts picking
right,
stuff up off the ground?
Right, I mean,
I'm like, what the fuck
she
are you
started
doing?
Walking across the street while we were still gunfighting. I mean, bullets were going, but these two idiots, these assholes who shot the RPG, they had a couple AKs. And she literally, with like groceries in her hand, looked left, looked right, and started diddy popping across the street. And the look on her face and just didn't bother.
It was like
she make it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's fine. Yeah. I'm sure she's probably still alive because people like that don't die.
No.
I mean, it didn't bother either. She was deaf and didn't know, but I mean, she. I mean, you could see the shit pinging up all over the place. She just.
Just another day at the JOB for her.
Another day in the Shaw, baby. Yep.
So let me ask you this to close out the show: if you guys could go back and do it, would you?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
For funny, two man. Reasons. One, it's awesome.
Yeah.
War is like the ultimate. There's nothing. There's no drug out there. There's no sex out there that even comes close to this.
The caveat he said, and I said, one of these days I'll try to if I have the right people, because I don't write real well. But I wanted to sit down and write a book. I want to interview a lot of my brethren, all the way from the super, super secret squirrel SF special operations guys all the way down to the lowest National Guard idiot like my baby brother. But. And even my dad, you know, Vietnam or some of those old World War II crusty dudes are still around, that, you know, I got a theory in my mind of why we search for that for the rest of our lives. It's the most intense. A gunfight, when you're getting shot at and you're shooting back and you can see the assholes that are trying to kill you and they know you're trying to kill them, is the most erotic, intense thing you will ever experience in your life. And I think when you go back in life and you look at everything else that you do, from, you know, watching your children be born, or, you know, your kids graduating from college or whatever, you look for this drug. And that's why guys make 2, 3, 4, 5 deployments, is because they come home and, you know, get the wife barking, kids yelling and screaming, like, fuck this. I didn't have nothing to care about while I'm over there, just trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
And that's not even up to me. I mean, I'm just here. I'm going to go do my job. You know, if it finds me today, it finds me. Because you don't care about nothing over there. All you care about is the guys over here. Yep. I'm more concerned about him and losing him than I am about my own life. You know, the people say, talk about all the time, that valor. You know, people talk about this valor that people do. You know, and common valor is a common virtue, that, you know, guys put their lives out there and give their lives to their buddies, because, you know, you say yourself that it'd rather be me than my guys. I'm going to take care of them. And I'm sure in his heart he would have done the same thing, or Jared would have said the same thing, that I'd rather die to protect, make sure that he goes home. And it's just that camaraderie. And you're never going to find that anywhere again. I mean, I know you've wrote the book for Matt or whatever, and I think you hanging around a bunch of us knuckleheads, you see why we're so dysfunctional.
It's not a dysfunction, though. And I think that's the opposite thing. I think you guys are functional and you have a better head on your shoulders than everybody else, because you've been through the most intense situations that one could possibly be in. Whereas the people that I don't find functional in life are the people who haven't been through any situations, but they think they have.
Right.
And, you know, the Karens of the world, where you're just like, the world's going to end because of X. And you're like, man, that is not important.
This is the one thing that I'll put on you, what a privilege is for you. I grew up with it of a long stint. My grandfather served in the First World War. You know, I had family members in the Second World War. My father was in Vietnam. I had an uncle who was in Korea. I mean, we've had our family in every war. I'm a son of the Revolution. We can date our family. All
same, by the way. Yeah. I can go back to World War I for my great-grandfather.
Right.
Yeah.
That my family's names, my dad's family name, our surname, has fought in every war this country's ever had. This is the first war. This one, the global war on terrorism, the guys in Afghanistan, Iraq, and guys like you that have taken a step out of your world and the movie world, that you could probably be making a hell of a lot more money doing your thing over there, that now the American populace or the world can finally talk about the things that my dad couldn't talk about. You know, they weren't allowed to sit and talk about the things that we just talked about on the radio or anywhere. It wasn't accepted. You know, now we can, that, you know, we do have problems. Our veterans, and if they're listening, you know, out there, that, you know, we want to help. We don't want to see you guys in trouble. That's our brethren. There's life after that, you know. And we use you guys as a vehicle to say, hey, let's talk about it, you know. And I watch what these guys of Matt and Jared and Dan does. I see the humor side of it every day.
Yeah.
But how many of the guys that connect to that and say, you know what, man, I remember those days, or I remember this, or I remember that, or I have that story, or whatever, to bring them back into the fold. What we're trying to do, because we don't like to lose, because we don't ever leave a buddy in the bush. We never leave our fallen comrades behind. And that's what you have. That's what you're doing. That's what you guys are doing here with this, is saying, hey, we're here. You know, pick up the phone, call somebody. You know, that number that we lose every day is just a terrible. And I just watched something they were talking about the other day, that we lose every day of our veterans. It's just horrible.
And that's why Jared created the group.
Yeah.
Never Drink Alone. And that's what Drinking Bros is. A lot of people think, hey, it's just fucking drinking or partying. No, it wasn't why it started. But and then, or you could listen to a podcast.
Right.
That was the other portion of it, of like, hey, man, if you can't get online or wherever you are in the world, you can either go to Facebook or listen to a podcast, or, you know, and hop back in it. You did the Drinking Bro of the Week on the news last week. For this week, who was the guy you were talking about that you lost?
Zachary Blythe Tomczak. Yeah. We lost him September 27th, 2017.
Yep. Okay. And you want to make him the Drinking Bro of the Week?
Yeah.
I'm gonna make him the hero of the world, man. He was a good kid. Other than him being a 49er fan, I mean, everything else with him was perfect.
Did you listen to the sports show? Dan's high on the 49ers this year. He's looking pretty good. Them every week. They're undefeated.
That's because he buys Nikes and he's going to let the fro grow out. And
I kneel. When I play Madden at home, whenever the anthem comes on, yeah. I kneel for the anthem on Madden. I don't give a shit.
Tommy was a solid kid, man.
He was.
He's funny, articulate. The morning before he got killed, I remember going out and the Steelers had just played the Steelers for all you would-be want to be Steeler fans.
Calm down, Donnie Iris. Get
hey,
to your
don't
story.
They do be talking about Donnie Iris? I go all WDVE on you. The Steelers had just played the 49ers. Steelers had beat them, and I'd walked over to his little Jack Shack he had yep. for a new corner, and I took my camera and I took a picture of him, and he had this big shit-eating grin on his face, and we went out and pulled that nonsense, and he ended up getting shot and getting killed, and. No, I still have that picture. He was such a good kid, and you ask yourself why. You know, why him? Of all the, not to say I'd want to lose any of them, but sure. You know, why him? I mean, why'd it have to be him? I mean, he was so perfect. I mean, he's a beautiful boy. He was just a great person. And, you know, coming home and his wife, Beth Ann, that's back in where she's originally from. And,
West Virginia.
Yeah, Morgantown. And she still gives me shit when I drive through and I don't stop and see her. but, you know, good people. But, you know, to lose somebody like that. But it happens. You know, we have to accept that it's a job we chose. You know, but it was drafted. It's a profession that we wanted. And when you go in harm's way, people are going to get hurt. You're going to lose your friends. And all we do is trying to honor them for the rest of our lives. They gave the ultimate sacrifice to what we stand for as a country. I don't give a shit what your political affiliation is or what you feel or how you feel about the president, but these folks out there from the day we started to the day we are here, the guys that go overseas and defend our country, that give their lives, they are real heroes. Their families are heroes. Their mothers are heroes, their wives, you know, their husbands, because we've lost a lot of women, soldiers or airmen, and those are the real heroes of this country, not some asshole that sits on TV and talks about Guam being flipped up upside down. That's not a hero. That's just an idiot.
Right.
I mean, these are the real people. And you are an American hero yourself.
Well, Gene Vandenham is. I'm not. But I've played a hero. Hey, man, thanks for coming back, Jeff. For real, this was a fucking great episode, dude.
Thank you for having me.
You're just one of those dudes who's just endlessly entertaining, and I greatly appreciate it. I know Dan was super amped that you were here. I almost saw a smile out of him when he said you were coming. So that's as best as you could hope for in this world,
yep.
out of Dan.
A half smile. My range, emotionally, most people are from 10 to negative 10.
Yeah.
I'm from like... 0 to .something
point
on
three.
Either side.
Yeah.
Well, I will just give you just one tidbit about Dan.
Uh-oh, boy. Here we go.
MLB Baseball on PlayStation.
Yeah.
You need to make it harder because this is the only guy that I know that mastered that game.
He's a master of
all things baseball.
Of all things baseball.
Well, not all things. We went later tonight. We'll go round and round about baseball trivia. But when it came to that game, and we would play that game against each other, I mean, this boy, I mean... And I pride myself to be able to play like NHL.
Sure.
Or MLB. No.
Best in the biz.
No. Yeah, he knew everything I was throwing. And hit it all out.
I guess the pitches. Like, you haven't been to a baseball game with me yet. We still got to do that.
Yeah.
But you've seen my ability to call individual games, which is very difficult to do, I think.
He's like me.
It is. We might do a special.
He keeps
on
a scorecard and he'll count pitches and knows exactly where the pitch is going to be and where why.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll probably end up at a Yankees game here in a couple weeks. But
we're going to go to a playoff game. I'll be rooting for the other team. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Whomever it is. No, it'll be Houston, and it's going to be. I'll be rooting for Houston.
All right.
I want to see that Houston. Well, I would love to see a Yankees Braves World Series, a rematch.
Same.
Of 98.
Wait, yeah. $330 million didn't make it to the playoffs this year?
Oh, you talking about Bryce Harper? No. No. He's at home right now. He's playing golf.
Philadelphia, it didn't work out.
Get Washington made it. Here.
I know. I saw that.
He didn't.
I'd love that Washington made it and Philly didn't. I'd fucking love
that's
that.
That's epic, isn't it? That's amazing. My little
get
tidbit.
Fucked,
330
Bryce
million.
It's amazing.
I actually like Bryce Harper, but get fucked.
So do I. So do I. For D'Anthony Holloway, Jeff, thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
I am Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good nights, everyone.